I made them unhappier than they have been in years, I think, said Montag. It shocked me to see Mrs. Phelps cry. Maybe they're right. Maybe it's best not to face things. To run. Have fun. I don't know, I feel guilty.
No, you mustn't. If there were no war, if there was peace in the world, I'd say, fine, have fun. But Montag, you mustn't go back to being just a fireman. All isn't well with the world.
Montag perspired.
Montag, you listening?
My feet, said Montag. I can't move them. I feel so damn silly. My feet won't move.
Listen, easy now, said the old man gently. I know. I know. You're afraid of making mistakes. Don't be. Mistakes can be profited by. Man, when I was younger, I shoved my ignorance in people's faces. They beat me with sticks. By the time I was 40, my blunt instrument had been honed to a fine cutting point for me. If you hide your ignorance, no one will hit you, and you'll never learn. Now, pick up your feet. Into the firehouse with you. We're twins. We're not alone anymore. We're not separated out in different parlors with no contact between. If you need help when Beatty pries at you, I'll be sitting right here in your eardrum, making notes.
Montag felt his right foot, then his left foot, move. Old man, he said, stay with me. The mechanical hound was gone. Its kennel was empty, and the firehouse stood all about in plaster silence, and the orange salamander slept with its kerosene in its belly, and the fire throwers crossed upon its flanks, and Montag came in through the silence and touched the brass pole and slid up in the dark air, looking back at the deserted kennel, his heart beating, pausing, beating. Faber was a gray moth asleep in his ear for the moment. Beatty stood near the drop hole, waiting, but with his back turned, as if he were not waiting.
Well, he said to the men playing cards, here comes a very strange beast, which in all tongues is called a fool.
He put his hand to one side, palm up for a gift. Montag put the book in it. Without even glancing at the title, Beatty tossed the book in the trash basket and lit a cigarette.
Who are a little wise the best fools be? Welcome back, Montag. I hope you'll be staying with us. Now that your fever is done and your sickness over, sit in for a hand of poker?
They sat and the cards were dealt. In Beatty's sight, Montag felt the guilt of his hands. His fingers were like ferrets that had done some evil and now never rested, always stirred and picked and hid in pockets, moving from under Beatty's alcohol flame stare. If Beatty so much as breathed on them, Montag felt that his hands might wither, turn over on their sides, and never be shocked to life again. They would be buried the rest of his life in his coat sleeves, forgotten. For these were the hands that had acted on their own, no part of him. Here was where the conscience first manifested itself to snatch books, dart off with Job and Ruth and Willie Shakespeare, and now in the firehouse, these hands seemed gloved with blood. Twice in half an hour, Montag had to rise from the game to go to the latrine to wash his hands. When he came back, he hid his hands under the table. Beatty laughed.
Let's have your hands in sight, Montag. Not that we don't trust you, understand, but...
They all laughed.
Well, said Beatty, the crisis is past and all is well. The sheep returns to the fold. We're all sheep who have strayed at times. Truth is truth, to the end of reckoning, we've cried. They are never alone that are accompanied with noble thoughts, we've shouted to ourselves. Sweet food of sweetly uttered knowledge, Sir Philip Sidney said. But on the other hand, words are like leaves, and where they most abound, much fruit of sense beneath is rarely found. Alexander Pope. What do you think of that, Montag?
I don't know.
Careful, whispered Faber, living in another world far away.
Or this. A little learning is a dangerous thing. Drink deep, or taste not, the Pierian spring. There, shallow draughts intoxicate the brain, and drinking largely sobers us again. Pope, same essay. Where does that put you?
Montag bit his lip.
I'll tell you, said Beatty, smiling at his cards. That made you for a little while a drunkard. Read a few lines and off you go, over the cliff. Bang, you're ready to blow up the world, chop off heads, knock down women and children, destroy authority. I know, I've been through it all.
I'm all right, said Montag nervously.
Stop blushing. I'm not needling, really, I'm not. Do you know, I had a dream an hour ago. I laid down for a catnap, and in this dream, you and I, Montag, got into a furious debate on books. You towered with rage, yelled quotes at me. I calmly parried every thrust. Power, I said. And you, quoting Dr. Johnson, said, knowledge is more than equivalent to force. And I said, well, Dr. Johnson also said, dear boy, that he is no wise man that will quit a certainty for an uncertainty. Stick with the fireman, Montag. All else is dreary chaos.
Don't listen, whispered Faber. He's trying to confuse. He's slippery. Watch out. Beatty chuckled.
And you said, quoting, truth will come to light. Murder will not be hid long. And I cried in good humor, oh, God, he speaks only of his horse. And the devil can cite scripture for his purpose. And you yelled, this age thinks better of a gilded fool than of a threadbare saint in wisdom school. And I whispered gently, the dignity of truth is lost with much protesting. And you screamed, carcasses bleed at the sight of the murderer. And I said, patting your hand, what, do I give you trench mouth? And you shrieked, knowledge is power. And a dwarf on a giant's shoulders sees the furthest of the two. And I summed my side up with rare serenity in the folly of mistaking a metaphor for a proof, a torrent of verbiage for a spring of capital truths, and oneself as an oracle is inborn in us, Mr. Valerie once said.